The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
What do you make of this action by the CDC? There's a very small number of myocarditis reported in adolescents and young adults. What red flags does that raise for you?
Well, first, it tells me that the system is working. There's an independent advisory committee that is monitoring safety data every week, looking for any potential signal that there could be a safety issue from the vaccines. And in seeing these cases of myocarditis, which is an unusual, rare inflammation of the heart muscle, what they're saying is, well, is this more than we would normally expect to see? Because this is, unfortunately, a condition that you can see in children and in adults. And so far, they're saying, no, there aren't more cases than we would expect. But we want to make sure that there aren't some out there that we've missed. We want to make sure that there is no connection.
Because we don't know if there are any more cases of myocarditis than there would have been whether you had a vaccine or not.
I mean, this is one of the most challenging things whenever there's a new medication or a new vaccine to tell, is something caused by it or is it something that you would just normally expect to see?
And you know their parents who are watching this and going, okay, well, wait a minute here. I'll just hang out and wait. Who knows? This causes me concern. Maybe I just won't have my adolescent get the vaccine. What would your advice be?
So I would recommend that parents go ahead and get their kids vaccinated. There were 600,000 children between the ages of 12 and 15 who got vaccinated last week, which is terrific.
It's terrific, he says. That's the former CDC director. He's on NBC News this morning. They're discussing this story about the young people that are coming down with this, what was the name of this case? Some kind of enlarged heart muscle or something as a result of the vaccine. And he's basically saying, along with the host, that we don't know for sure what's going on, but the system, be assured, the system is working. The system is working. I assume it's working perfectly because, well, they're monitoring all the safety data. So if you read between the lines of what you just heard there, this is an experiment. You know it's an experimental drug. Has it even been approved by the FDA yet? So here comes this experimental drug. Now we're beginning to see some of the side effects, but you've got the monitoring. The monitoring is in place, so don't you worry. And it's just a small, small number. Well, today on the show, we're going to look into some of the case studies that you don't hear about in the propaganda media. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We come to you every day live here in central Oklahoma, 11 a.m. in the central time zone, 12 noon on the East Coast, and 9 a.m. on the West Coast, and we're happy as of this week to partner with CRN Digital Radio Network. That opens the way for us to be on a lot of other platforms as well, just making it a little bit easier for you to listen to the program. But if you want to view the program, to watch the video stream of this show, you have to do that. That's exclusively at thetrumpet.com website, thetrumpet.com/live. And at that page, you can also get to all of the older programs that we post after the live broadcast. If you'd like to submit some email, we'd sure like to hear from you. You can write us at td@thetrumpet.com. And one last programming note, I've been emphasizing this through the week, so bear with me, but the Celtic Throne kicks off its summer tour this Sunday, May the 30th. Right here in Edmond, Oklahoma. If you're anywhere in Oklahoma, check out the website, CelticThrone.com. And as I've been saying, if you're also anywhere in Texas, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, we may have a show coming near you. So go to CelticThrone.com and look up the city tour and or the tours, the tour that will take us through these cities, and then also the ticket availability. That's CelticThrone.com. We're going to draw attention toward the end of this segment to Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong's book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. What will a godly utopia be like? We'll get into that. And if you'd like to request your free copy of that book, you can go to our website, which I just mentioned, or you can call our operators today. That's 1-866-930-3024. So yesterday we talked about how that this virus is man-made. It's man-made. It was manipulated in that Wuhan lab. And then somehow or another, it escaped the lab and spread right around the world. And you know what else is man-made? You know what else came out of a lab? You know what else was put together by a group of scientists, experts? Well, that would be one of the several vaccines. Hundreds of millions of vaccine jabs all over the world. This is from the Zero Hedge, I believe. Actually, just to follow up on that NBC soundbite I played at the top, this is another one. I'll get to Zero Hedge in a second. But this is just with respect to the reaction that kids have to this jab, leaving aside that other case that was discussed in NBC. It says the U.S. Health Authority, CDC, has confirmed that children and adolescents develop COVID-19 in an extremely mild manner, if at all. So you know, there's very, very, very little risk that they'll even get COVID. And if they do, it's usually in some mild form, like a cold or maybe a flu. It says also children and adolescents from the age of 12 cannot make the decision about an injection alone. Despite this, children are being targeted. And you heard it in that segment. Here the segment is about these adverse reactions that young people are having. And yet at the very end of it, the good doctor says, yes, get the jab for your kids. Make sure that they get the jab. It says the study showed that up to 80% of children develop side effects that can lead to severe trauma. The new fact sheet showed that BioNTech Pfizer vaccination was tested on 1,000 children and adolescents from 12 to 15 years of age. At least 866 out of 1,097 children developed some form of unpleasant side effect. And so you have to ask, why, if it's so rare for a child to even get the disease, why would you inject this into your little child? Why would you put this in your 12-year-old if they're having these kinds of reactions? It says in 466, the side effects were described as mild. In 393, they were moderate. And in 7, they were described as severe. So I guess take your chances. Just take your chances. And be assured as you do that the monitor safety data, I mean, the CDC is carefully monitoring all of these statistics as they come in. So, you're being experimented on, but that's okay. You still have to take the jab. I mean, it's sort of like the lockdowns last year. We just have to do it. Well, why? Well, it doesn't matter why. We just have to do it. It's what everyone's doing, so do it. Same with the mask. And now the same with the vaccine. We pointed to that story from the CDC earlier in May. This was the one that Tucker Carlson drew attention to. 4,000 people dying from, this is 4,000 Americans just here in the United States. 4,178, this is from May 5th, so the story's old. I mean, it's three, four weeks ago. 4,178 Americans dead following experimental COVID injections. It says deaths from COVID shots now equal 20 years of recorded deaths following vaccines since 2001. So from 2001 to this year, for all of the vaccines, you had less deaths as a result of the vaccines than what we've seen just in these few months where the COVID-19 vaccine has been rolled out. Now, that's alarming. It's alarming to me. Is it alarming to you? This is a dangerous drug. And now children, as that previous report brought out, now children are being targeted. Now we want our little children to take it. This is from May 7th. New Jersey doctor, this is the headline, New Jersey doctor dies of COVID on trip to India after getting both Pfizer shots in the USA. So he got the jab and then he got COVID. He got a breakthrough variant. This was at Dr. McCullough. I forget his first name. My wife uses him for some nutrition content here at the college. But this is from his website. Mass vaccination triggers spike in cases and deaths. So it's supposed to protect you from the disease. And in fact, as this article at Dr. McCullough's website points out, it's actually causing a spike in COVID cases. Leave aside the side effects, the blood clotting and so on, the brain hemorrhaging. The spike is in COVID-19. It says here, COVID cases have risen sharply in nearly every country that has launched a mass vaccination campaign. Cambodia began its vaccination campaign in early February after having compiled zero fatalities. After it started its vaccination program, the deaths started piling up. You talk about another surge, a man-made surge at that. It says it could be something in the vaccine itself is killing people. It says researchers confirmed that the main damage from COVID is caused by the spike protein, not the virus. If that's the case, then why are we injecting people with vaccines that teach their cells to make spike proteins? 118 million Americans have now been injected with the clot-generating spike protein. No one knows how long these potentially lethal proteins remain trapped in the lining of the blood vessels or what damage they might eventually do. It says, now that cases have dropped sharply across the U.S., why not ease up on the vaccinations until there is a better grasp of the long-term risks? Why wouldn't the former CDC head on that news clip we played for you say, you know what, because of these reports, even if it's a small number of young people, I suggest that we pause. I suggest that we wait for a little more research. Would you read this report from the Daily Mail and then rush your 12-year-old off to the doctor to get the double jab? Why not pause and let's just see? Well, you know our position on this program. Forget about a pause. Just forget the vaccine altogether. Mr. Armstrong, in this book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, he talked about how the experts in the medical profession, their arithmetic is one poison inside of the body plus another poison from outside the body somehow equals no poison. As he said, that's bad arithmetic. That doesn't make sense. One plus one does not equal zero poison. But that's the way the authorities want for you to believe. And so they're pushing so hard for this jab, and now they want the children to take it. This is from the BBC just a couple days ago. It says, a coroner will consider if the cause of the BBC presenter Lisa Shaw's death might have been complicated by her having had the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. The title, Lisa Shaw, Vaccine Role in BBC Presenter's Death, to be probed. So here we are, the monitor safety data. I'm sure the CDC is busy. Well, she's from the UK, so maybe they're not looking into this one at all. This woman was 46, and she had no underlying health conditions. Nothing that we know of. And she took the vaccine, and days later, she was dead. Says here, her family said the 44-year-old, sorry, not 46, the 44-year-old was treated for blood clots days after her first jab. She died on Friday. An interim fact of death certificate lists the vaccine as one of the possible factors being considered. But notice what it says here. This is actually from the BBC. The BBC lost one of its reporters. And here's the BBC's report about that sudden death. It says the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency said vaccine benefits exceed risks for most people. Does that make you feel secure? Perfectly secure. The benefits exceed the risks for most people. For most people. So hopefully it'll work out. It's an experiment, and you're part of it. They're experimenting on us. These are powerful, powerful drugs that are doing things to the human body unlike any other vaccine in history. And people are just supposed to blindly go along like dumb sheep. Oh, yeah, if the expert says it, then we must do it. It says the BBC Radio Newcastle presenter was not known to have any underlying health problems. In a statement, Ms. Shaw's family said, Lisa developed severe headaches a week after receiving her AstraZeneca vaccine and fell seriously ill a few days later. She was tested at the Royal Victoria Infirmary intensive care team, or by them, for blood clots and bleeding in her head. That came, again, just days after the first jab, I guess it was. 44 years old, no underlying health conditions. This is from the website LifeSite. 39-year-old model. British fashion model Stephanie Dubois died from a blood clot days after receiving the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine in Cyprus. Dubois, 39, suffered a serious thrombotic episode after receiving her first dose of the vaccine on May 6th. She had no underlying health conditions, according to health officials at the hospital. We're beginning to see a pattern here. Fairly young and no underlying conditions. These are the people that are not vulnerable to the COVID-19 disease. I mean, they might get it, but it's unlikely that they would die from it. The most vulnerable group, remember, the elderly who have comorbidities of some kind. They're obese, they've got diabetes, they've got a heart condition, they've got whatever. 39 years old, no underlying health conditions. This is just a few examples. You're not going to hear about it on the mainstream news. I understand that. But these are actual events. It says the fashion model later suffered a brain hemorrhage and was in a coma before she passed away May 21st. So just a few days ago. She got the vaccine. Same article says 27-year-old Olympian archer dies after the Pfizer vaccine. Two-time Olympic archer Hazik Kamaruddin died at the age of 27 on May 14th after collapsing at his home days after receiving Pfizer's COVID vaccine. Kamaruddin died of a blocked coronary artery, said the health ministry, adding that there was no evidence of a link to the vaccine. So you see how they do the numbers this time around. With COVID, it was, if there's a trace of COVID after your train wreck, then you must have died of COVID. Here, it's very different. There's no evidence it's connected. Well, but it happened just a few days ago. You could have collapsed and just died as a 27-year-old. Happens all the time. It says there are multiple reasons a coronary artery can be blocked, including by a blood clot, according to Yale Medicine. It says, as The Defender reported last month, all three vaccines authorized in the U.S., including Pfizer, can potentially cause blood clots. So it seems like we should be hearing just a little bit more about this. It seems like this should be making more headlines than it is. There's the occasional segment, Tucker Carlson or the Daily Mail. The BBC, of course, had to report on it. It was one of its own. That woman, 44 years old, no underlying conditions. Same with the British model. from Zero Hedge, just to come back to the way they're counting the numbers. It says here, the U.S. Center for Disease Control. That's what's amazing about all this, is they're some of these people that are exposing the truth. They're going right to the CDC's own website. You would think there'd be a few more propaganda journalists that would be interested in this. They have the serious discussion on NBC this morning, and yet still at the end, Savannah Guthrie and that former CDC director wants you to know, you've got to get your kid the double jab. Zero Hedge says the U.S. Centers for Disease Control is altering its practices of data logging and testing for COVID-19 in order to make it seem the experimental genotherapy vaccines are effective at preventing the alleged disease. It says they made no secret of this, announcing the policy changes on their website in late April, early May, though naturally without admitting the fairly obvious motivation behind the change. So they admit it. Yeah, we're changing the way we're counting things now. But they don't explain why they're changing it. Because they don't want you to think that a lot of people are having these kinds of adverse reactions, in some case, deadly reactions to the vaccine. So they're playing with the numbers just a little bit. It says the trick is in their reporting of what they call breakthrough infections. That is, people who are fully vaccinated against SARS-CoV-2 infection but get infected anyway. Now, this is what Dr. McCullough's site was all over, with country by country by country, and he had the graphs to go with it. Basically, the world had herd immunity a few months ago, and then the big push for the vaccines, and now you're getting spikes in some of these countries, coinciding with the mass jabbing. It says here, essentially, COVID-19 has long been shown to those willing to pay attention to be an entirely created pandemic narrative built on two key factors. Zero Hedge says this. Number one, false positivity tests. That they had to tell the general public that, look, everybody's getting this. Tens of millions of people. It's a pandemic. This is how many are dying. Initially, it was 4%. Then it comes down to just a tiny fraction of 1%. But never mind that. It's a pandemic. Lock it down. Put on the mask. Now get the jab. Maybe, if all goes well, says the governor of California, maybe we can pull off the mask on June the 15th. On June 15, we'll be safe, finally. You've got the false positive test, and then you've got the inflated case count. The incredibly broad definition of COVID case used all over the world lists anyone who receives a positive test as a COVID-19 case, even if they never experienced any symptoms. They got COVID. They're one of the millions. Spreading like wildfire. Zero Hedge says this in conclusion. Without these two policies, there would never have been an appreciable pandemic at all. And now the CDC has enacted two policy changes, which means they no longer apply to vaccinated people. So in order to get it right up to the level of pandemic, they had to pad the numbers, right? They had to pad the numbers. And some experts even feel guilty about this, as I read to you the other day from the Telegraph. You know, what we did to kind of control behavior and to manipulate the statistics. You know, we're looking back over last year thinking that wasn't ethical. In fact, in some ways, it was authoritarian. And we feel bad about that. We feel guilty, they say, a year later. Padding the stats. It's a pandemic. And then now we're getting to the other side of the pandemic. And in order to pressure you into getting a vaccine, filling up your body with all these toxins, all these poisons, in order to make you feel safe in doing that, well, now they trim the numbers. Now they trim the numbers so that you know it's perfect. This is a perfect vaccine, even though it's just totally experimental, and you just heard it admitted on NBC News. These two talking back and forth, we don't know. Do we know if this is the cause? Well, we don't know that. But the data, be assured, the data is being analyzed. So go ahead and get the jab. And we'll let you know if there is cause and effect. We'll let you know later after it's been studied. But right now, I mean, get the jab. Facebook, there was a whistleblower that I think was fired from Facebook because he exposed the fact that they're censoring those who have what's called vaccine hesitancy. You know, I don't want to take the jab. I don't feel like it's safe. I'm a little concerned about it. Wendy, what's her name? Williams. She has a talk show. Never seen it. But today, she became my favorite talk show host. She now Sam tells me she might have made these comments a few months ago. But either way, well, I saw it this week. But if it was this week or a few months ago, listen, she's on with Dr. Oz. And he, of course, asked her, are you going to get the vaccine? She could have said, and I still would have applauded this, she could have said, it's none of your business. But instead, she answers. And listen to what she said to Dr. Oz. This is clip five.
So, are you planning on getting your vaccine?
No.
No?
No. I don't trust it. I've never gotten the flu shot either, though, and you and I have talked about that, and several of the doctors on my team talked to me about, Wendy, we'll get the flu shot. I've never had the flu. I'm not getting a flu shot. I very rarely get a cold. I never have headaches. I don't take an aspirin because I feel my heart murmur or something like that. I'm not getting, no, I don't trust it. There, I said it.
Yeah, I don't trust it. I said it. She's not going to be able to say that on Facebook. She's got more than vaccine hesitancy. She's got vaccine no way. No way am I taking. I don't trust it. Listen to what she went on to say, clip six.
So let me just ask you, if there's anything that could happen that would make you feel comfortable, 10 million people get vaccinated without a problem. Your neighbor gets vaccinated, a sibling, your son gets vaccinated, someone that's dear to you gets vaccinated and does well, that might make you think, you know, just to get past the hassle of having to lie on my back recovering from COVID-19 or maybe not recovering is not worth the risk, that I might actually consider this vaccine.
I'm not getting the vaccine.
She sticks to her guns. Good for her. Good for her. And there's Dr. Oz. He's stunned, by the way. But there he is saying, well, what if 10 million had it and there's no side effects? As if 10 million have had it and there have never been any side effects for 10 million. Just throwing numbers out there, just making it up. What would set you at ease? Because look, a lot of people listen to you. A lot of people watch your talk show, he said. You've got to get the jab. You've got to set the example. Just like so many of his friends in the propaganda media, getting out in front of the camera to get the jab. It's all intended to pressure you. And now your children too. Listen to what she says at the end of this exchange about doctors, clip seven.
Doctors are really smart people, but doctors don't know everything. And that's been proven as well. I'm not getting the vaccine.
She's not going to get it. And she takes a little jab, pardon the pun, at doctors and says, you know what? They're smart people, but they don't know everything. And they certainly don't. They certainly don't. On Jimmy Kimmel's show last night, I mentioned Gavin Newsom. He's decided that June 15th is the date. Never mind what the CDC says about masking up. He's decided, Governor Newsom, that we've got to keep wearing the masks until June 15th. So there he is sitting in the studio audience section of Jimmy Kimmel's show. Of course, nobody else is there because they can't have fans come in to watch the show. He's all by himself. He's probably 50, 60 feet away from the nearest human being. He's got his mask on, so you can barely understand him. And then he proudly announces this. This is clip two.
People will get entered in the lottery if they...
Everybody that's gotten vaccinated in California is automatically eligible. We put $116 million up. And on June 15th, we're going to do a $15 million raffle. We'll be doing a series of raffles, $50,000 on Friday, June 4th, Friday, June 11th, $50 gift cards. Unprecedented.
Only biggest, for people who've been vaccinated.
Been vaccinated and encouraging new people to get vaccinated.
What if...
What? It's a COVID blessing. This is like blessings from heaven because of COVID. $116 million lottery. If you've been vaccinated, you might win $15 million. You might get really, really sick as well, but leave that aside. You might be rich. You might get 50 bucks. Get the jab and win the lottery. Now, I've made the point before, the Ohio governor did the same thing, although not nearly as much money. I guess California is just rolling in the dough. California's broke. And California's governor is spending $116 million that they don't have on a lottery to pressure you, to encourage you, to admonish you to get the jab. $116 million. Now, as I've said, why, oh, why would it take a $116 million lottery to convince someone to take the vaccine if the vaccine was saving lives all over the place? If it was saving millions and millions of lives from the deadliest pandemic in at least 100 years, a pandemic. I mean, people are just dropping all over the place. And if this drug will save you, that's all the incentive that anyone would need. You see. People know. They know what's going on. They know there are dangerous side effects associated with these vaccines. They know it. At least some do. Maybe not enough, but some people know. And there is a fair bit of vaccine hesitancy, as well there should be. Listen to Joe Biden. He's trying to get out into the black community to convince them to take the jab. This is clip 3.
We were reaching out into minority communities, which, by the way, and many of the older members of that community had memories of experimentation on black Americans that were not told about, like what happened to the Tuskegee Airmen and all those tests. And so there was a great reluctance.
The interviewer there is nodding along like she knows what he's talking about. I'll leave it to you to figure out the Tuskegee Airmen story as opposed to the experiments that were done on people from Tuskegee. In any event, I don't think it's a comparison that necessarily helps him make his argument, if it even makes sense. But there's vaccine hesitancy in the black community, as well there should be. Now, Mr. Armstrong, this book, as I mentioned at the top, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. You can call our 800 number and request a free copy today. But he goes through, life in the wonderful world tomorrow, even life in the physical sense, those that are living out their flesh and blood years. Of course, there will be spirit beings at that time as well. God's family will be ruling the earth. But he emphasizes the 7 laws of radiant health, just practical, Bible-based laws, common sense laws, and how different it will be on earth because people will be obeying the laws of health. They'll be eating the right foods and getting the right amount of exercise, proper sleep, sunlight, fresh air, and so on, avoiding bodily injury, doing things that are injurious to your health. He says here, and secondly, when people, in spite of this education, do get sick or catch a disease, it can be healed God's way. And he goes on to explain the arithmetic behind God's healing and that he comes in and subtracts the disease that's inside of you. He doesn't add a toxin or a poison. This is further on. He says, but does God then prevent his laws of nature from working? Well, just to back up, one poison in your body plus one poison in the form of medicine, that's the way the world system works. God's system will be much different. When we come back, we'll get back into the book of Isaiah, specifically chapter 9. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, and the Trumpet Daily would like to listen to you. Send us an email if you like. If you're new to the program or you're a longtime listener, how about being a first-time emailer and let us know what you think. Let us know a little bit about where you're from and how you listen to the program. Those are always really interesting details for us as we try to track some of the stats for the show. Write us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. What it will be like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
A few programs ago, we went through Isaiah chapter 3, where it talks about the upside-down family. Of course, Isaiah 5 also mentions the upside-down society, where we call evil good and good evil. And that's touched on, that same subject, in Isaiah 9 as well. Isaiah 9 and verse 13 says, "For the people turns not unto him that smites them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Eternal will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush, in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail." It says, "For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed." See, it's a sickness that starts at the top. A head-to-toe sickness, Isaiah 1 brings that out. But the leaders cause them to err, like Isaiah 3 says. Where is the leadership? Verse 21, it talks about Ephraim and Manasseh being against Judah. Lots of division in these biblical brothers, or between these tribes of Israel. But then back up to Isaiah 9 and verse 1, the start of the chapter here. It says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations." It says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined." And so here the prophet gives us a vision that extends far beyond the captivity of Israel, far beyond the captivity of Judah. And it's important that we grab hold of that vision, because this is turning into a dark, dark world, an evil world, the present evil world, said Paul, with Satan as its God. Verse 6, talk about vision. Look at this, it says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." God says a child is about to be born. Of course, this was speaking of the appearance of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. "Unto us a child is born." He was born, he came and lived his life, his physical life in the flesh. for a little over 30 years. And then he sacrificed his life. He had to. He had to. And in the process of living out his physical life, he qualified to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. He conquered his adversary, the devil, and then laid down his life as a perfect sacrifice for you and for me, so that we might be born into the family of God, so that we might have a future in God's kingdom. For unto us a child is born, it says. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's coming back as King of Kings. God's government will rest on his shoulders. He's going to have real authority. He's going to administer the government of God. He will enforce the laws of God. And that way of life, as it spreads over all the earth, will then soon spread out into the universe. It says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, forever and ever. It says from henceforth, even forever. It says the zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform this. This is where that throne of David vision extends, or this is where it takes us, right out into first the wonderful world tomorrow. This is a wonderful book, by the way, and some of the material is touched on in Mystery of the Ages. We've plugged that, of course, the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, which I've emphasized the last couple programs. All of that revolves around, so much of it anyway, the throne of David. It says the increase of his government and peace, there's not going to be any end to it. It just goes on and on and on. No end to the rule of God from David's throne. That throne rule will extend on out into the universe. Jeremiah 3 and verse 17, I'll just give you a few other verses that you can look at on your own time. It says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, or the throne of the Eternal. At that time, they'll call Jerusalem the throne of God, because that's headquarters. That's the seat of God's government on earth. And what a difference it will make. You think about all that comes out of Washington, D.C., this oversized, bloated, inefficient, unproductive. So many leaders in that town that are just narcissists, really. They're just there serving themselves. But what a difference when God's government is set up on this earth. In Jerusalem, the throne of the Eternal. Psalm 47 and verse 2, it says, for the Eternal Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Do you really believe these prophecies? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to rule it as a great king over all the earth? Not just one nation, not just one city or city-state, but the whole earth. That's what your Bible says. Are you a Bible believer? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the prophecies of God? Do you have faith in God's word? Do you trust God? A lot of people don't. You could go back to the first century, well, even to the first few centuries. Obviously, Satan was setting up a great counterfeit Christianity in opposition to God's actual church, the true church of God, that were, for the most part, scattered over all the earth because of persecution. Look at what they did to Jesus Christ. Look at what the Romans did to the Apostle Paul, to Peter. Look at the persecution discussed at the beginning of Acts 12. The saints of God were being persecuted and in some cases martyred. It's no different to this day. It's been this way for 2,000 years of church history. Those that truly represent God come under fire. They are attacked. They are, in some cases, chased, persecuted, locked up, even killed. But your Bible says that God's family wins in the end. They did it to Jesus Christ, but that did not thwart God's purpose. In fact, it furthered the purpose of God. That lamb sacrifice had to happen so that we could claim it, so that we could be forgiven of our sins that we've repented of, and then go forward with the life of Christ dwelling in us, the power of God filling our minds. Psalm 67:4, it says, "O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth." Christ is coming back to govern the nations of the earth. And one last one, it says, "For then I will turn the people up, then I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Eternal to serve him with one consent." That's in Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. This is just a few scriptures. I could give you many more that point to Jesus Christ as the eventual ruler and king who will reign over all the earth. And you can add the many other prophecies like what we read through here in Isaiah 9 that talk more generally about the kingdom of God on earth. As I say, this book will really round out your study. The wonderful world tomorrow, what will it be like? What's it going to be like? What will our health be like? How will we overcome sickness and disease? How will we care for our children? How will we promote good health and fitness and vitality and strength and energy? In Mystery of the Ages, Mr. Armstrong said, "Notice the government would be on his shoulder." He's talking about Isaiah 9, obviously. Jesus is going to be king over all the earth. And one of the purposes of his coming was to announce that kingdom. So he came the first time to announce it. That was one of the purposes. He had to sacrifice himself too. We've discussed that. But he also came into Galilee, as the Bible says, preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Wow. Was that a message that the world received well? Did they accept the message in the first century? Have people accepted it since? Most people don't even believe in the actual return of Christ to this earth. They don't believe in a second coming. They might spiritualize it away in some form or fashion with a rapture or going to heaven or whatever. Your Bible says Christ is coming back to this earth to establish God's kingdom on this earth. That's the truth of the Bible. As I say, I could point you to dozens and dozens of scriptures that describe that blessed event. It says, "What a tragedy that a traditional Christianity has forsaken and lost that vital and glorious gospel message and substituted their own gospel about the person of Christ." What a tragedy that the world of traditional Christianity, they've lost this. They're not anxiously awaiting the return of Christ. They've turned to another gospel. Paul talked about this in Galatians 1. It says here, "Jesus was born as a human to become a king, ultimately to establish the kingdom of God, ruling the whole earth with the government of God. But that rule required more than the individual Jesus." It says the king, president, prime minister, or ruler over every nation governs with and through a more or less vast organization of others who rule various phases and departments under him. It says, "Likewise, Christ must have an organized government with numerous others trained and qualified to rule under him. Jesus said, 'I will build my church.'" It says the church was to consist of many of what was to consist of many to be called out of Satan's world to be taught and trained for numerous governmental positions under Christ when he comes to rule over all nations. So that's why we're here in God's church today. We're being trained We're being prepared for positions of rule underneath Christ. We're here learning how to administer God's government so that we can assist in administering that government over all the earth and the world tomorrow. The wonderful world tomorrow. What will it be like? What will that government be like? What will the world be like? Isaiah 11, let's notice a scripture over here. Isaiah 11 and verse 1, it says, "And there shall come forth out a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." So the stem of Jesse, that's David. David was Jesse's son. But then it talks about a rod or an offshoot that came out of David. And of course, that was Jesus Christ. You can look at Acts 13, verses 22 and 23 on your own time. But just to continue with this millennial description, verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Eternal shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Eternal." God's understanding will rest on this individual, on this king, on his son, Jesus Christ. And again, you look at verse 6, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb." So this is obviously a millennial setting. Even the nature of vicious animals is going to change. Verse 4, it says, "But with righteousness shall he," speaking of the offshoot or the branch of David, "shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." This is talking about an actual, it's talking about the literal reign of Jesus Christ over all the earth, using the authority that God gives to him, administering the government of God on earth. We've already gone through Isaiah 2, those few verses at the start of that chapter, where it again describes this wonderful world tomorrow. Verse 1 of chapter 2, just to repeat, it says, "The word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem," it says, "and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Eternal's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills." It says, "And all nations shall flow unto it." All nations flowing in and out of Jerusalem. Isaiah got this vision of the coming kingdom of God, and he believed. He wrote about it. He described it. People don't believe today. Their faith is too weak. They're lost in the present, consumed by their material interests and concerns. God wants us to wrap our minds around the vision of the coming kingdom of God. That was the message that Jesus proclaimed in the first century. Verse 3, it says, "And many people shall go and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That's it. It'll be over. No more strife and contention. No more war. What a wonderful world that will be. Call our operators today and request the wonderful world tomorrow. What will it be like? You can dial toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to submit your feedback, td@thetrumpet.com.